back from New York, 1027 WNEW, Metallica. Turn the page from Garage Inc. It's Opie, it's Anthony, it's Ralph DeTore in the studio still.
Hey.
No.
Wait, do I have your mic on?
No, you don't.
Oh, you went to that one on me? All right.
Hey, there you go. Hey.
So we brought Ralph in because you guys got to see Johnny Lang last night.
Yeah, pretty cool.
How was it? We need the review.
Well, first of all, I just can't stand him.
He's jealous.
The guy, he's young, he's a good-looking kid, the chicks love him, he can play like a mother.
Mm. Yeah, he can.
You know, you really didn't get that from when he plays live in the studio with us, when he comes in, how really good he plays guitar. The guy's just kicking ass.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice. And,
that's the scary part. It's all going to get better.
Just annoyed me. A really good, great show. Yeah.
You know, as I'm sitting there watching, it's a real stripped down band. It's just, you know, guitar, two guitars, bass, drum, keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, you know, where are the background singers? Where's the horn section? You know,
no, they're all there.
Next time.
Next time you could totally hear him going that way, right?
You know, get the Tower of Power horn section behind him and.
Voice is
great.
My God.
His voice is amazing.
Where'd that come from?
18 years old, and he sounds like Joe Cocker in his prime.
There's some black guy down south going, hey, what happened to my voice? Wait a minute.
Exactly.
You know? And when he's in the studio and he's talking with us, doing an interview and stuff, he's, hey, you know, well, it's cool. So. And then from the stage, even in between songs, he's just, how we doing, people? Like, whoa, what the hell happened? Yeah.
It's amazing.
Right on.
And great show.
And there was a mixed crowd, right? A lot of teeny boppers, but then a lot of older people
not
as well, huh?
It was mostly older folks. I don't think there was I didn't see that many young
people. Well, the kids were up front.
Yeah, they were
Some little girlies, and they're jumping around, like throwing flowers and notes at him and stuff.
Yeah.
And then in the crowd, I'm looking, I see biker dudes, and then the guy in the suit, men, women.
It was everybody.
Yeah.
That really proves he's the real thing right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And people were impressed, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, the guy can play.
Ralph, were you singing backup for Johnny Lang last night? What happened?
I guess it was a smoke.
Yeah?
A lot of smoke in that place last night.
Yeah.
People just, you know,
I smelled some weed, too.
Some stink
wafting around.
Yeah. Skunk,
little skunk edge.
A little skunky.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get a contact buzz last night?
No, I couldn't tell. I was drinking beer and Jack.
I got a contact buzz at the Black Crowes.
Did you?
Oh, there was so much pot in there, you couldn't help but leave high.
Yeah, and I got the Allman Brothers tonight, so.
Oh boy.
That's a real straight crowd.
Look at you.
Look at you, Mr.
Ralph, Mr. Party Guy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'll be deaf tomorrow on the radio.
Right.
I thought today was bad, folks. Wait.
Nah, I thought you sounded great, man. The lunch hour was great today.
I always have a lot of fun with that.
That's a very good feature. You get to hear so many songs that you usually don't hear on the radio. You put on Missing Persons today.
Walking in L.A. Hey, somebody wanted to hear it.
I'll be honest. I was at home when you put the phone call on the air, and I cranked up my stereo. I'm like, what the hell? I'll listen to this.
Yeah. Reminds me of that little suit she used to wear. Remember that?
Yeah.
Dale Bozio.
Yeah, you just don't want to see her wearing that suit these days.
Oh, I know. I saw her in the
did you see the behind the
VH1,
yeah.
And she's in the little minivan driving it.
She's got a good attitude, though. She had a good attitude.
Yeah, I'd rather have her with a good ass than a good attitude. A lot nicer to look at.
We'll feed you lies. Well, you guys are going to have a great show, by the way.
Oh, now you just jinxed it.
No, people don't know. People don't know. Every day, Anthony comes in and starts playing around with his computer, and he scribbles stuff, and then he grabs the paper and goes to make the shot, and he misses every day.
I can't hit the garbage pail with rolled up paper. I don't know what it is. And it's not even that far away.
But the one day you did hit, show was abysmal.
Show was terrible. So
did you miss?
I missed.
Oh, you missed. So we'll,
by a mile.
Oh, we'll
99% of the time he misses.
All right, we'll have a great show then.
Yeah,
today.
Exactly.
I gotta remember that now.
All right, cool. We got lots to get to today.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd on the way, and Hendrix next. And phone's already ringing. If you want to send a fax, that's cool. 212-957-WNEW. The Rock of New York, 1027 WNEW, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Blue on Black, and Hendrix 2. It's Opie and Anthony and Ralph DeTore. I guess Ralph's going to be the third wheel today, man.
Sitting in, Ralph?
You going to sit in for a little while?
If you so desire.
Well, that's kind of what we like to do here on our show. It's kind of just like a hangout. It's a party atmosphere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we'll invite anyone in the studio if they got something to say and answer the show.
That wasn't the way a few months ago. There was a list of some sort, wasn't there?
Well right now, let's see.
Talk of a list.
Yeah, there's Ralph.
Matt.
Yeah.
That's about it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
No, Jane.
Yeah.
There's a few. Lisa.
Black girl, Ben the Fag.
We haven't seen Lisa in a while, though. Mm. Yeah, we'd allow Lisa in.
Yeah.
But
Andrea, I think she was on the list, right?
No, I mean, Andrea doesn't do on-air stuff, though. We're talking people that would contribute to the show, turn on a mic, and just go with us.
Gotcha.
You know, Andrea doesn't like being on mic. We understand that.
Yeah.
All right, Daily News. I'll be back. Joe Torre.
Yep.
It's looking better and better for Joe, huh?
I don't know. I can't get any information.
They're saying they caught the cancer early, which is very, 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 very important when you get the prostate cancer. What's wrong?
Steady.
Hey. He's the best manager in baseball.
You know, George was losing it last night on TV.
He's cracking a little bit.
He has every right to.
No.
He's had a rough couple of weeks.
He's had a rough couple of years.
I don't like seeing the emotional George Steinbrenner. I'm sorry.
You like the cutthroat?
I want the scum, the bad guy, you know? The one that would yell at Billy Martin. Remember the fights they used to have?
Mm-hmm.
You never saw him like, Billy, I'm sorry, would you come back? No, it was always, you know, he was the bad guy.
Yeah.
He's mellowed with age.
Right? I don't like seeing that. Oh. He's on TV. Every time I see him on TV now, he's crying.
He has a lot to cry about lately.
I don't want to see it.
He had a cry over Joe Torre. He had a cry over Joe DiMaggio.
The World Series.
He had a cry over the World
he's
Series.
He's getting the trophy. Did he get this trophy from you? It's the best moment ever.
Best
team in baseball.
When we had Coney on.
Yeah.
A few months back, he admitted to us on our show that George was hammered.
He was a little lit. Yeah, yeah, that's for sure.
So, yeah, you got to give him that one.
But now you see him all the time. He's...
We didn't like trading the Boomer, but... The Rocket's the best pitcher in baseball!
Anthony, what are you saying? He's always lit?
No, I'm saying he's always emotional.
He's very emotional.
He's always crying now. George, come on.
Get tough, right?
Snap out of it. Yeah, toughen up.
But, Torre, it's looking like he's going to be all right.
Yeah.
We're all knocking on wood. But the whole thing with prostate cancer, if you catch it early, you got a good chance of surviving and living a normal life.
Ow.
But
I get heebie-jeebies.
And it's something we're all going to have to face.
Oh. Very sensitive subject.
Well, don't they say if you have a lot of sex that your odds of getting it go down?
Oh, really?
I think I heard that. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Then I'm in trouble.
Less blockage.
See, you thought I was going to go the other way. No, I'm in trouble then. But, I mean, my dad, he goes to the Legion every week.
Yeah.
All the guys there have it.
Really?
Every single one of them.
Really?
Yeah, in different stages. And my dad's got the pre-stuff happening. So far, he's okay, but, you know, because they've caught it early in him. But
no, I mean, they do.
This is more popular than you guys think, this prostate.
Oh, it is.
Popular.
It's more common.
Yeah.
Popular. Yeah.
Wow.
Wrong word. I know.
Everyone wants it.
Maybe five. You could dance to it.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, we obviously hope
absolutely
for the best.
You got to send them, you know, just nothing but good wishes. And
of course.
80% of early diagnosis or get cured.
There you go.
That's what they say.
A little later in the show, we got to talk about the other famous people that have had a bout with prostate cancer.
I saw that. There's a couple of
it's amazing
big names in there.
Marv Levy from the Bills, Stan Musial,
mm-hmm.
Michael Milken, Norman Schwarzkopf, Harry Belafonte, Louis Farrakhan, Jesse.
Hey, lady!
Jesse Helms.
Wow.
Mayor Marion Barry.
Sure doesn't discriminate as far as political beliefs.
No.
Jesse Helms and Farrakhan.
Yeah.
I didn't think they had anything in common.
Bob Dole, believe it or not.
Bob Dole.
Arnold Palmer. Jerry Lewis.
Hey, lady.
And our favorite, Charlton Heston. He was on Larry King talking about his prostate cancer.
Yes, yes.
So maybe we'll get a visit from
Chuck Heston later.
Chuck Heston a little later, right? 1027 WNEW, The Rock of New York with Everlast, What It's Like. It's Opie and Anthony, 212-757-1027 if you got something for the show.
Hey,
Jeff, we got you on the air. What's up, man?
Hey, open up?
Yeah.
What's up?
How you doing?
All right.
I got a question for management on your behalf.
Okay.
So what the hell's up with Free Beer Thursday? What's going on?
Oh, no.
You guys are having some beer in the studio.
Well.
Ixnay.
Uh-huh.
Ixnay on the E-Freight Ear Bay.
Now, I heard that they canceled Free Beer Thursday.
Why? Yeah.
Now, we predicted last week that it would only last 2 weeks, but it lasted 1 week.
1 week.
1 week. Come on, guys.
1 week.
It's been canceled.
Come on, management. Let them have something to drink.
If you're just tuning in, and you didn't hear us talking about this last week, we had a big, huge management meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The entire staff of NEW was there.
Yes, I almost stayed awake during the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I was very proud of myself, almost.
And we're trying to figure out how to get more people to listen to NEW and really, you know, embrace our audience and stuff.
Pump up the station, a little more visibility.
Pump up the station, mm-hmm. Maybe start marketing it a little bit.
Sure, let people know that there's something going on here at NEW.
And one of our bosses stood up at the end of the meeting and announced that for now on Thursdays, it's going to be Free Beer Thursday.
Right.
Where they're going to order beer at 4 o'clock. And the entire staff is allowed to get drunk.
As an open exchange of ideas, a little forum for everybody to loosen up and exchange ideas.
Can you imagine if your boss suggested Free Beer Thursday?
Gotta love it.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta love it. And it's 10 to 4. It's almost time.
Well, I don't think it's happening today. I heard it was canceled.
Yeah.
Jeff.
It's canceled.
Did he go?
Are we going to have problems with the phones again today?
I think it's somewhat visionary, actually.
Vision.
The whole concept.
It's you know, visionary.
Dress Down Friday took so long to be embraced by corporate America.
Right, by true corporations. You know, yes,
so
yes.
We're on the edge, babe.
Well, Free Beer Thursday, I believe, has been canceled, but this week we did start a new tradition, Tequila Tuesday with Sammy
Tequila
Hagar.
Tequila Tuesday.
I thought that was going to be in conjunction with Free Beer Thursday, but I guess not.
No.
Crack Friday, I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
But we just, like, start up the crack pipes.
We just boot up.
Oh, yeah.
So, it was, you know, I mean, I love beer. Anthony loves beer. Ralph loves beer. But it was just kind of a silly idea.
Yeah, that's what we thought.
We're really trying to get more people to listen to our show and the rest of the station. And I don't know if a concept called Free Beer Thursday is going to help that along.
No.
You know, I'll have as many beers as I want after we get off the air. But we take it pretty damn serious when we're in
here. Yeah, yeah.
Trying to make people laugh and forget about their miserable days. You know?
Well, you don't have to join in. I mean, why ruin it for the rest of the staff, guys?
We don't. No,
you know, we can still partake in Free Beer Thursday. Just you.
Well, I think it might interfere with some people's, job.
I think it might actually help them do it better.
Really?
Well, it's hard enough.
Some people.
It's hard enough to get people to work around here. You think after a few beers they're going to want to work?
I think everybody works pretty damn hard around here, actually. But then again, maybe I'm in the wrong office.
Always the diplomat.
Yeah, Ralph doesn't like telling it like it is. He has this little nice persona that he wants everyone to know about. He's folding his arms. This is where he starts getting mad
defensive
at us.
Now. No, not at all.
We love most of the people we work with.
Of course.
They know that.
I'm going to go out there and lobby for Free Beer Thursday.
All right, cool.
I'm going to try and bring it back.
Now, what's going on with
7 minutes?
What's going on with this kid that needs a haircut?
Get a haircut and go to school.
This school is right next to where I live, actually.
All right, explain the story real fast, Ralph.
The story is the kid has long hair, and it's a private school.
He's only 5, and he has an earring, too.
Mm-hmm. And they want him to cut his hair. And saying that they're a private school, they can enforce any rules they want.
Which
is not discrimination.
True, yeah.
It's you know, tough nuggies.
You could go to public school and fight it, you know, but I think if he wants to get in this private school, he has to adhere to those rules. I think it's a silly rule, but it's the school's prerogative, right?
It is.
Well, what is getting a haircut going to...
Well, I don't see why long hair is going to get in the way of his education. That I don't understand that at all.
Right.
I mean, it's going to get in his eyes. He won't see the chalkboard. Why?
No, because if you don't let him get a haircut, I'll play the devil's advocate here because I truly don't give a crap. If he doesn't get a haircut and they have to let him in, what about the kid with the mohawk and the bone through the nose and whatever else, what other kind of look any kid wants in
let
school?
Let them all in. I don't care. We're individuals.
It's distracting to the educational process, Opie. You can't teach kids when they're distracted by a student with a mohawk or a bone through their nose.
All right, so they want the kid with the long hair to cut his hair.
Right.
Basically.
Because it's a distraction to other students and stuff.
And perhaps
possibly
his haircut wouldn't be, but if they allow his, they have to allow the other one in the next step, and that might be that much worse. So they want to nip it in the bud.
So why don't they just kick out all the ugly kids from private school? Because they're a distraction to an education.
Well, you can't make them go out and get corrective surgery.
That's public school. You know? This is only a private. Even the Civil Liberties Union is saying that the private school, quote, has the right to make decisions
right
in terms of dress and grooming.
All right, then they should kick out all the ugly kids as well, because it's the same thing. It's a distraction to
but
learning.
They can't have corrective surgery. I understand about distractions in school, Opie. I went to where was that, Fifth Avenue Elementary School, down there in East Northport on the island.
Mm-hmm.
My God, when I was going there, they had this program where they were letting mentally retarded children in with the normal students, let us call them normal.
Quote.
Yeah, because I was included in the normal class, which I probably shouldn't have been.
I was going to say, there goes that theory.
Yeah. And I forgot what kind of crazy liberal terminology they gave it. It was some kind of thing where they let the retarded children in with the normal kids, thinking that they will each benefit from the saying this. Well, it scared the bejesus out of me, and I couldn't help. There was one kid, he had water on the brain or something. His head was like a watermelon. He had a head three times bigger than anyone's head. And it was distracting to me at that age to do my English and math looking at a giant head, because that's all I could see was a big head. Like, the second I take my eyes off of his big head to do my work, I'd be thinking, I got to look at that head again. And so before I know it, pencils down. I'm like, I spent a half hour looking at the giant head, and I got nothing done, and I failed.
No wonder you didn't do well at school.
Yes.
Too busy looking at the big head
It was
kid.
The giant head kid, and then there was another kid with his pupil. His pupil was like a cat's. They were oblong like that. So you're just gazing, going, look at that eye. Time, class over. I was looking at the big head in the eye, kid.
Son of a gun.
So it gets distracting. But the hair thing, that wouldn't bother me. But it's a private school, and they could do what they want. As long as they don't let big head kids in school.
Jesus.
Well, keep them in the big head kid school. Do they have the big head kid school?
I don't know.
All right. I think medical testing's gotten much better, and I think they weeded those genes out of people. Yeah. Tell you the truth.
You think?
I don't think there's as much of that going on as there used to be. You know, you can go to the schools and see the big head kid and the wacky eye kid. They do testing early in the pregnancy and go, you know, you're going to have to eject that kid.
Whoa.
And then, well, they do. For God's sake, they do.
Eject?
Well, not for God's sake. No, they.
That's pretty cold.
But I don't know how they say it, but they say, look, you know, they do tests for things like spina bifida. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know, you got this. What do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And you go, okay, you know.
Look, Ralph just took his headphones off. He's walking out of the studio.
Well, what? Isn't this our forum for honesty, Opie?
Yes, it is.
This is what happens. Why can we not speak of it? I'm going out and saying that I don't think there's as many retarded kids and as many children with physical deformities because of medical science and the testing that they do. And if these things pop up, that the option to abort is there. And people use it.
And it wasn't 20 years ago.
Of course it was, but the testing wasn't there. So all of a sudden, you know, you're in the delivery room and it's like, like, whoa. Gee, doc, if you could have told me this a few months prior, hey, we could have done something about it. But, you know, now I got two-headed Chang.
Oh, man, that's harsh. But true, okay. I'll give it to you.
Sorry.
More political incorrectness on the way.
1027 WNEW, the Rock of New York. Pink Floyd, Have a Cigar. Should we make some wacky Monica joke here, or?
Ho ho! Wacky horn.
All right, they've all been told by now.
Of course.
So.
It's not our masterpiece, though.
Okay. All right.
All right, man.
It's Opie and Anthony.
Hey.
And you're all right over there?
No. I got this all figured out.
All right.
We got this all figured out. We got a fact.
Now, I hope you rage as hard on the air as you just did off the air.
Well, now I'm seeing into it a little more than I was.
Now, please don't hold back. Don't hold back. I can dump out if you do use a curse. Just let it fly, Anthony.
First, let me preface this now.
Okay.
I see where this fax came from. I thought it was somebody faxing us saying, hey, look at what somebody wrote in the new issue of Steppin' Out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then I look, it's faxed from Steppin' Out. So this guy, a loser, obviously wrote this to try to get us aggravated so we would talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that?
I see that now.
See, it came from Steppin' Out. But we'll read it anyway.
All right. I know your intentions.
This is the issue with Reverend Al Sharpton on the cover.
Yeah. It seems this guy, Dan Lorenzo, does this little 24/7 column. We'll give him a little plug. God knows he probably needs it. Did you see the lame cover we had 2 weeks ago? Now, this guy works for Steppin' Out?
Yes.
And he does this little column, and he's saying that we had a lame cover 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Opie and Anthony from NEW. I told Chauncey runs that magazine,
mm-hmm.
not to put them on the cover. No one I know had ever heard of them.
That's an all-out lie.
Well, first of all, when Chauncey did the interview when we first got here,
well, yeah,
for God's sake. And, they look like my neighbor's landscapers. Ho, 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 ho. Check, please. I tried to listen to their show, but couldn't deal with it after about 5 minutes. We've got a lot of lame radio for the market that's supposedly the hippest in the world. And then he goes on to these, like, radio shows that no one ever listens to and stuff, because he's so too cool for the room.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, you write a column for Steppin' Out Magazine. And you're making fun of us? It's a rag.
Yeah.
You write a little piece of crap column in a rag that no one even knows how to get. I wouldn't have known how to get that magazine if it wasn't sent to us. Don't put them on the cover. Oh, a lot of pull over there at us stepping out, huh? We were on it anyway. Boy, yeah. Talking about his interviews with Dan, your little cute little column next to the ad for boobs. No one reads this. The only time anyone reads it is when you put someone on the cover and they say, "Hey, I was on the cover of Steppin' Out."
Check it out. And they gave
me some free copies and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But he had some problem with us being on the cover.
Well, we had a problem with being on the cover because those were the worst pictures ever taken of us.
Yeah, obviously.
I think Steppin' Out had an agenda.
Yeah, because then he goes on to say, you know, K-Rock is really cool, you know, even after Howard goes off the air. And yeah, Howard Stern in the morning, a one share all day long, K-Rock. So he's, you know, obviously kissing their ass. You know, it's in their best interest to be in bed with them over there, which is fine, you know. Chauncey's been on his show for a few years. So I guess, you know, put us on the cover and, you know, make fun of us and stuff. That's cool. But Dan, you know, when you drive a piece of crap car, don't toot your horn, okay? You know? He's making fun of us. No one ever heard of us. No one ever heard of you and your magazine.
We gave him more publicity than anyone else in the last year or so.
Yeah, Reverend Al is going to be talking about it. I'm on a cover, stepping out! I don't think so.
Yeah. And in all honesty, Anthony and I have been interviewed many times in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
By far, because this show is all about honesty, by far the worst interview that has ever been written about us.
Well, he did it when we first got here, mm-hmm. Danny W., and it was supposed to come out right about then, because we were new to the market. Hey, it's we're new. Check this out. 6 months later, this thing turns up. And he didn't even call up to ask new questions. We're commenting about people that aren't here anymore,
mm-hmm.
about the state of the station, and it's still in an osmosis transitional phase, you know? And he didn't even call up to get any updates. And then Dan, with his little column, talks about how no one heard about us. Shut up. With your stupid little paper rag and your little column.
The article was about 70 to 75% right.
It's like a high school newspaper he's writing for, and he's all full of piss and vinegar.
Yeah.
Shut up, Dan. Dan, what do you think? You're going to it's Steppin' Out Magazine and then Times. You know, the Time Magazine, right?
And Dan, we know you're listening right now. You could act like you don't listen to us, but it's so obvious that you listen to us every single day.
He faxed it over.
Yeah.
He bashes us and then faxes it to us. What are you, an idiot?
Well, he obviously wanted us to talk about
it. Of course.
There you go, Dan. We talked about your loser little career.
There.
All right.
Good job. Boy, really, really doing well in your journalism career. Huh? I bet that's good. You send a lot of copies over to your parents' house? Oh, wait, you live there. That's right. So you're probably, yeah, they see all your work. No, that's good. That's good.
Damn. All right. AnthonyMapQuest.com.
This is a great, great thing, Opie. You're on the computer. You go to MapQuest.com, and you can get driving directions to anywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They print out a nice map. You can print out a map from MapQuest to anywhere in the country. It's great if you you get lost a lot.
It's really easy, too, because what you do is you put the address of where you are. You mm-hmm. put the address of where you want to go.
Yes.
And then a whole map gets printed out, and also the directions in detail telling you, like, how many miles you have to be on each road and stuff.
Yeah. Let's say you're douchebag Dan Lorenzo, right, from Steppin' Out Magazine, and you just got this hot job that's much better than the rag Steppin' Out. You're writing obituaries for the Fargo Times.
Right.
So you have to know how to get from New York to Fargo.
Sure.
Well, douchebag Dan should go to MapQuest. And then you pop in where you're going and where you're coming from, and it prints out a little, you can print out a map with directions, step-by-step directions, every road, how many miles you're supposed to be on that road, all the way to your destination.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
Now, I went online the other day, yeah. and I put in the address of where we work and my home address.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me the exact route we do every
it's
day.
It's scary.
Every day.
Try it. Pop up MapQuest.com. Put in where you work,
mm-hmm.
and then put in your house.
The Rock of New York, 1027 WNEW, the latest from Collective Soul off their CD Dosage. That's heavy. Tomorrow the winning begins mm-hmm. and continues all weekend. We got Collective Soul tickets to give away. And in the near future, we got the band coming up to say hi to us.
Yes.
So that's going to be very cool. It's Opie and Anthony.
Hello.
Taking a lot of hits today, a lot of people trying to abuse us, and that's okay.
That's all right.
Take your shots. We don't care.
Yeah.
We know we have people that like what we do.
That's funny. I got a bunch of emails from people on that Dan Lorenzo thing.
Yeah.
It turns out he was in this, like, half-assed hair band, metal band,
mm-hmm.
that just kind of flopped, so he's a bitter musician.
Oh, I see.
now it all makes complete sense.
It does make sense, because you were in a band, and you know how that goes.
The bitter musician. Yeah.
That hates the world because the world didn't discover his talents.
Yeah, man. I've seen a million of these guys. Oh, brother. Now he's on his little paper route.
Yeah, Dan trying to act like we're not cool enough for Steppin' Out Magazine.
Yeah, sorry, Dan.
Yeah, I guess we're not cool enough to have articles written about us in the Daily News, the New York Times, the L.A. Times. I could go on forever.
I don't see VH1 going to your door for a What Happened To. Should be for a Never Happened To.
You know, speaking of which... there's something very interesting going on with our show, and it's kind of frustrating to Anthony and I. We're finding out every day. You guys send us email, and we read every single piece of email, by the way, and I know a lot of people get bummed because we don't write you back. It's almost impossible at this point, but we're trying to write everyone back. But don't think that your email is just going into a wastebasket. We read every single piece, the good stuff, the bad stuff, the stupid junk mail you sent us,
mm-hmm.
the pictures we've seen a million times. We read it all, and we want you to know that, okay? So keep your feedback coming, because it definitely helps us build the show. But the one thing we notice every day when we're reading email, people go, hey, man, I started listening to you 2 weeks ago. Hey, man, I started last Friday when you had blah, blah. One person said they tuned in for the first time when we had Sammy Hagar on Tuesday.
Wow.
And says, I'm hooked. I'm hooked. I'll be listening every day. So the thing I need for all the faithful listeners to do that are listening to our voice right now, please send us another email, okay, especially if you haven't emailed us in a while, and tell us exactly when you started listening to us, because we want to take a little survey for the show. I'm very interested.
All right.
It'll also help us because there's a lot of old bits we'd like to keep playing, but we want to make sure there's enough people out there that haven't heard them. You know what I mean? And if the email comes in, well, I've only been listening for 2 months, that's really going to help us. But if you've been there from the beginning, we want to know that as well. So if you could take a little time, the email address is opack, O-P-A-C-K, at WNEW.com. You can get to that through the WNEW website as well. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, your name, where you live, I guess. Your age would be very cool. And basically, when you started listening to us.
Yeah.
Or when you stopped listening to us, because there's a few people that stopped listening because of us as well. We want to just take a quick survey for the show, and that would help us greatly, okay?
Cool.
All right. Very cool. Well, there's another big story in town here. This Amy Watkins.
Oh, yeah.
This is a very, very tragic story. Very tragic. Amy Watkins was murdered in Brooklyn. She had, what, like a 10-inch knife?
Ugh. Yeah.
Stuck in her back.
In her back while she was walking home.
Now, I got some theories. They're out there. Mm-hmm. They're out there, but it's just a hunch.
These are your theories based on what, Opie? Just are you basing these theories on anything factual?
Just what I've seen on TV. I'm no detective by any means.
And your gut feeling.
My gut feeling.
Opie's gut feeling.
Right.
Sometimes you just gotta, as a detective, go with your gut feeling.
That's right, Mr.
Like
Colombo.
I do. Yes, of course.
Yes.
Let me hear what you think happened.
Okay. Now, I'm not accusing anyone, because I know the email will come in. But Amy Watkins.
Martin Landau.
Amy Watkins.
Do you think it's Martin Landau?
No, I don't.
Or Jack Cassidy.
Could be Jack Cassidy.
It was always Jack Cassidy.
Amy Watkins, a grad student. She just did a lot for the needy.
Mm-hmm.
She was a volunteer. She was, at the time of her death, helping women that were battered in relationships and stuff.
Yes.
Volunteered a lot of her free time to help others, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In Brooklyn. Now, every day, she would leave this place she was working at or volunteering at. This is what I got from the news. And she'd walk home with her boyfriend. Okay?
Yeah.
The one day she doesn't walk home with her boyfriend, she is stabbed in the back with a 10-inch knife.
Right.
That is plastic around the handle of the knife.
Plastic.
Which pretty much tells me maybe a little premeditated happening here. Maybe. I'm not a detective. This is my gut feeling.
So what you're saying is people trying to keep fingerprints from the knife handle.
Of course.
All right.
I believe if it was just a pure robbery,
yeah,
they wouldn't have worried about fingerprints on a knife. They would have taken the knife with them. But someone wanted to make sure they didn't get caught. Okay. Now they're interviewing everyone on TV the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it's my hunch. I'm not accusing anyone. They interview the boyfriend. At his job the next day, he is working and getting his feelings on the death of his girlfriend.
Working.
Who in their right mind would go to work the day after your loved one was murdered?
Interesting.
Even if the President of the United States, God forbid, lost someone close to him, he's not going to work the next day.
Hell no.
This guy was in the middle of doing his job. It was some weird thing with a ship. He was sanding some kind of hull or something. I didn't really get what his job was.
He's working,
and they're interviewing him about the death of his girlfriend.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, huh? Hmm.
That's where I point my finger. I'm not accusing. It's a hunch.
Very interesting. Reminds me of a case I remember when Robert Culp once killed Marianne Mobley. And I went over, and he was indeed working.
Yeah.
And you know how that turned out?
How?
He was guilty.
Yeah, there you go.
I had it figured out from the start, just like you.
All right.
Fascinating.
You're saying it's the boyfriend.
It's just a hunch. Not accusing. Don't feel like getting sued. I'm just saying that's...
Your gut feeling.
My gut feeling.
Based on nothing but what you have said here.
Well, every day she walks home with the boyfriend, the one day they don't walk home together, it happens.
Could just be a tragic little twist.
It could be a coincidence, obviously.
All right. We'll see how this plays out.
Dude, no one goes to work after someone really close to them is murdered.
That's kind of bad, yeah. And four months into their little relationship,
mm-hmm.
That's when you're like so in love. Ooh, yeah.
So there you have it. I know I'm going to catch hell for that, but...
Maybe, maybe not.
That's my gut feeling. All right?
Mm. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a common M.O. for any of the robberies around the city.
Well, plus...
Taking a huge knife and putting it through somebody and then taking their...
Well, plus that particular area of Brooklyn, they're saying the crime rate has drastically dropped over the years.
Yeah.
So it's not a crime-ridden neighborhood
mm-hmm.
by any means anymore. They had their problems like everywhere else, but it's... They pretty much cleaned up the area.
Wonder why the paper didn't print anything like, you know, the boyfriend is being looked at or the boyfriend isn't being looked at.
I don't know. It just...
Sometimes the cops hold that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was just very, very suspicious when I was watching all the, you know, news reports on it.
And I see the boyfriend was working at a Ginsu factory. Is that true?
I don't know.
No? Oh, that's false. Okay, that's false. All right. We just saw that. I wasn't sure.
What, did Jackie the Joke Man hand you a fax or something? A piece of paper, Anthony? Sounds like a bad joke you'd hear over there.
All right, Mike Levy writes, what if the guy that killed Amy is not white? Will the Reverend Al Sharpton be outraged and vocal? No way. You won't hear squat from that S head.
Ooh. Interesting.
Yeah, we'll see if he pipes up if it turns out it's a black guy.
Well, who knows?
1027 WNEW, the Rock of New York, Goo Goo Dolls, and Dizzy from Dizzy Up the Girl. It's Opie, it's Anthony. And in the studio, Earl, our buddy, our pal.
Earl.
Hey. We love Earl. And he's very knowledgeable, Earl. He knows sports. And he just
sports and music.
He just ran in here to tell us about a trade the Nets just pulled.
Yes. The Nets have Stephon Marbury. It's still unofficial, but it's pretty much going to happen.
That's amazing. That's a great pickup.
Now, what does this mean for the team?
Well, it means nothing this year, Mad Dog, because the team blows.
Mm.
They got to get Jason Williams healthy. The guy, Jason Williams, I love the guy. He has the biggest heart in the NBA, but he's gotta get the operation on his hand or his finger or his thumb, whatever the hell it is.
Everything's hurt.
Yeah, I understand he wants to be out there, you know, and be a leader for the team, but he's just got to give up on the season, get healthy, and we'll start again next year.
Yeah, especially since they're not going to make the playoffs.
No, and this season just is a waste.
It's a wash.
It's a waste as I watch every single game.
Ah, you disappoint me.
Now, honestly, I'm not watching as much, Ant. That's the truth.
Well, good.
I said I would boycott the whole season. It's kind of hard.
Ratings are down.
Especially being in New York. The Knicks, very frustrating to watch. Patrick Ewing.
The Chokemeister.
It's over.
Oh, jeez.
It's over. I just can't watch him anymore.
He can negate a great game with one last shot, huh?
Well, he's missed a few now this year, hasn't he, Earl?
I think at least three or four.
Yeah. Yeah. I just hate watching him play. And I'm still frustrated they traded Oakley and Starks. I'd rather see those guys out there every day, diving for loose balls and having a heart.
Everyone gets traded. It's kind of a game.
So who did the Nets give up for Marbury?
Gatling and...
No whoop.
No one big. They didn't give up anybody.
Well, now they got to just—they have to re-sign Marbury. Is the problem, right? Because he's a free agent after this year.
Yes, it's going to be a big problem.
Well, they can start now though, which is cool. Is anything going on with the NCAA today?
There's been a couple of upsets. Syracuse is out.
Yeah, I heard about
and,
that already.
Minnesota's out.
That doesn't matter. Duke's going to win it all.
I like Kentucky.
Can I say it right now? Write it on. Well, that's an obvious choice though. I don't think anyone's beaten Duke this year. How far do you think St. John's is going to go, Earl?
At least Sweet 16.
Yeah, I think so, too. And Connecticut still looks good, but I don't know. I just don't see anyone beating Duke. Little sports break for the boys. Wow.
I'm out of this one. College b-ball, huh?
Well, Now you know how I feel when you start talking about cartoons.
Come on.
I mean, I love cartoons, but the stuff you remember about cartoons, just I'm like, well, I'll just watch Anthony.
I don't know much about
college basketball.
Wow.
Well, what's cool is college basketball the next 2 weeks. It's just really exciting, the NCAA tournament.
All right.
We could blow off the NBA season for a while and then get back into the season when, it starts getting interesting, I guess.
How does this affect me in Half-Life?
As long as, I don't know, it doesn't affect you at all, yeah. If I was over your house, you would hate me.
I'd be on the computer and you'd be watching the TV.
Well, then your wife Jennifer would.
Oh, yeah.
She'd have a problem with that.
Yes.
Because I tried to get Anthony into basketball.
It wasn't working.
It almost worked.
Well, I was appreciating their talents,
A
yes.
few years back, it was the Bulls and the Knicks in the playoffs, and I was explaining the game to Ant, like really getting into it. And by the end of the game, it was real close. Anthony is like jumping off the couch with me and stuff and really getting into it.
I was just kind of like, look at that idiot. Right. Oh, God.
You got to admit, you were kind of getting into it because I explained it in a way that it made it a little more exciting. And your wife, Jennifer, was giving you a look like, Anthony, don't you dare get into basketball.
Well, also, I must say, it was the last like 10 seconds of the game that lasted an hour that was exciting.
Well, that's always the case.
I just, occasionally have my problems with basketball. I don't find it all that exciting. Sorry, it's just me.
All right.
You're Opie now, on the other hand, huge basketball fan.
Do you watch any sports?
Yeah.
Like what?
I like watching football.
Yeah.
It's always fun. Baseball occasionally.
You get into your Yanks.
Of
course.
You know, officially, and we explained this last year, I'm a huge Mets fan. Anthony's a pretty big Yanks fan.
Yeah.
But when the Yankees were in the series, I definitely rooted for them, which, I don't know, a lot of Mets fans, I assume, do that.
Yeah.
What does Nick have a problem with our show? God. Everyone's PMSing today, I think.
Yeah, someone.
Hi, NEW.
Hey, you guys are off the itinerary. What's going on?
What do you mean itinerary?
The one that your program manager wrote up. I'm trying to follow his damn circle, and you guys are like, off. What's going on?
Well, what haven't we talked about today that we're supposed to, according
you
to the boss?
Sports.
Yeah, sports wasn't on the Opie and Anthony format clock that our program director drew up.
I've seen that. Well, you guys make a drive home a lot enjoyable.
Hey, thanks a lot, buddy.
No problem. Bye.
We could talk about the stock market.
Up today.
Again?
Yeah, closing on 10,000.
Is it over 99 now?
Very close. No, 98 and change.
98,
but,
high 98?
At one point, I believe it was 70 points away from 10,000.
Wow.
So, doing well, but people getting a little shaky. Getting a little scared when it does this. And I'm a little scared of the market these days.
Why?
Because there's something going on. I can't quite put my finger on it, but the sure things aren't as sure as they were a few months ago.
As far as the internet stocks or
everything, a little fluctuation.
Okay.
Oil's going up though. Have fun with that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Why is oil going up?
Inflation's going to go up.
We got to do our oil crisis break someday.
Oh yeah.
That is the biggest crock of S. What, every 15 years we have an oil crisis, right?
Yeah, yeah. Somehow there's a shortage.
And how do we get oil?
We pump it out of the ground.
And it's from what? Dinosaurs that have been rotting for thousands of years? Is this right?
Yes.
Sort of?
Yes.
Let's go to the basics of this discussion.
It's prehistoric crap under the earth that through pressure, time, and heat is converted into fossil fuel, Opie.
So we have this oil crisis every once in a while.
Yes.
And we can't find oil, so the prices go through the roof, and then everyone has to start buying the crappy small cars and stuff.
Yeah, put away your SUVs.
And then next thing you know, they find more oil.
Egad.
What, we just made more oil?
No.
There's a certain amount of oil.
Well, the Arabs
and they know exactly,
hoard it. They were hoarding it.
I almost cursed. That's bold.
It wasn't a shortage. There were barrels upon barrels, but they were hoarding it.
They always say it's a shortage, though.
Of course.
Like they can't find any more. They have no idea where it is, and they got to make more.
The energy crisis.
No.
Make more. There's plenty of it.
And in this day and age, if we have to wait on a line to get gas...
the extra hour of sleep that they're getting. You go by and say, if I were them, I would still be sleeping as well. I think Tom Brokaw could be a wacky DJ in this town, Anthony.
Oh, let me tell you, folks. How about those homeless people? Hey, how many homeless does it take to change a light bulb?
How many, Tom?
None. There's no light bulbs in a refrigerator box. But you know, folks, I was a little upset yesterday.
Yeah.
Because you said Tom Brokaw was not exciting. Tom Brokaw was not a fun guy, a guy that exudes humor and laughter and jocularity.
Well, your voice is a bore. It does put people to sleep. You're slurring all over the place. It sounds like you're on cold medicine.
Well, I'm a little drowsy today.
Now, why are you drowsy today?
Well, since they were installing a new ceiling fan in my office, it fell and blade hit my head. I'm a little woozy. But I took great offense to you saying Tom Brokaw was not an exciting individual. So I figured I'd spice things up with a little humor as I sat in on the Today Show for Matt Lauer.
So you're trying to become politically incorrect these days, Tom?
Well, I see how some of the young comics are using this political incorrectness to boost their careers to new levels.
Levels, yeah.
Levels. So I figured it awesome. Me, Tom Brokaw, could do the same.
Okay.
By telling a few jokes that I understand they're a little off color, but that's how to get ahead these days. Hey, did you hear?
Oh, no.
The one about the black and the Puerto Rican in the car? Hey, who's driving?
I don't know. Who was driving, Tom?
The police.
Oh, my God.
But you know.
Come on.
Why can't Tom Brokaw say these jokes?
Well, because you're a respected newsman.
Hey, look, I have a new homeless toilet bowl.
Yeah?
It's a jar with a flush handle. All right, I'm working on that one. But Tom Brokaw, working my act, honing my craft.
Yeah.
You're going to be playing it for
Matt Lauer. Are you going to be playing Caroline's in the near future with these jokes? Or?
No, no, actually, I'm going to have to start out at Laughed Your Balls Off in Poughkeepsie. Opening for the Dice Man.
I see.
But very clever.
Do you have any other jokes you want to try out for our audience?
No, no, I just wish I stunk as bad as homeless people do. That way I wouldn't have to ever talk to Geraldo Rivera. He'd run away because I stunk so bad. Thank you. Boy, I sure have to work on this.
Trust me, you stink just as bad as the homeless, Tom. Tom! Tom!
Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News. Hey, what's that? What's that rat on top of Ted Koppel's head? It looks like a homeless guy. Homeless. I see you're laughing at me.
No, I'm laughing at you, yes.
Tom Brokaw.
All right.
This is the new Tom Brokaw. It's a funny Google haha Tom Brokaw. Look, look. I have a wacky horn.
Yeah, maybe that'll help your jokes if you toot the wacky horn after the jokes.
I don't even think Tom Brokaw needs jokes with the wacky horn.
No.
Listen.
All right.
Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News, 20 people killed in an Amtrak accident. See, it'll spice up the news, make things a little more funny. Racial tensions in Los Angeles today as a white mob beats a black man. See? It lightens things up. I don't even have to tell the Tom Brokaw joke.
Well, you might need the slide whistle, too, Tom.
Let me try that one today. A disaster in the skies. An airliner crashes, killing 250. Yes, I could use that one. Tom Brokaw. Oh, this might have worked better for the Amtrak joke. 20 people killed as Amtrak Metroliner derails in Washington. Yes, now we're spicing up the news. Check, please. Check, please.
Well, you got the homeless people pissed off at you, Tom.
Screw them.
And the faux pas caused a stir on the internet, and NBC's switchboard was overwhelmed with complaints about you.
They don't even have phones or TVs. How do they know Tom Brokaw said anything about the homeless? Yeah, you think you could talk about those people? Come on. I didn't know I was being invited into their box every evening. What can I say?
Hey, Tom, this is...
Boy, those people sure smell like urine.
This is top shelf stuff, Tom.
Heck, please.
All right, we'll get you out of this one. All right, Anthony, we got to talk about Stacker 2 here.
Anthony seems to have left the studio, Opie. I will be sitting in on your commercial for Stackers 2. A lovely product that I use myself.
You should use it. I don't think you're using it yet.
No, I did actually take one. The truth of the matter is Tom Brokaw would be dead if I hadn't taken it. I'm up.
You're up, huh?
Up as a pup.
Well, I took the Stacker 2 once again before the show, and I'm flying. Simple as that, I'm flying.
So am I.
Okay.
Look at me. I'm a madman. I'm out of control.
Yeah, you're just, you're Zanarific, Mr. Brokaw. Imagine a fat burner guaranteed to work in just 45 minutes or your money back, Tom. The
Amazing.
Same fat-burning, muscle-building agents relied upon by professional bodybuilders to become rock-hard, sculpted, and fat-free. So basically, this product gives you a boost of energy, which it's doing to me today, and it also burns fat.
How about that?
And this stuff works within 45 minutes of taking it. You'll become a firm believer in Stacker 2.
Excellent. A great way to get the chicks. Obviously, a nice flat stomach,
mm-hmm.
and you're up and... Exhilarating.
Tom, you need to take another stack or two pill. You're fading on me here.
All right, give me another one.
All right. Also, it comes with a money-back guarantee. If you don't like the product or it's not doing anything for you, the company will definitely give you your money back. You can give them a call. It's 1-800-LITE-LINE. That's 1-800-LITE-LINE.
Oh, thank God. I didn't have to say that.
Call today and order the world's strongest fat burner.
LITE-LINE.
And you'll get an energy boost as well, just like Mr. Brokaw is getting today.
1-800-LITE-LINE.
1027 WNEW, the Rock of New York. That's the band Marvelous 3 and Freak of the Week. It's Opie and Anthony.
Hey, man.
Thanks for checking us out. We appreciate it.
As always.
We got a whole new audience driving home right now, so I got to ask for you guys' help once again. We did this earlier, and a lot of people have helped us, and others have made it more difficult than it really is. We have noticed when we read all your email every day that a lot of you guys have only started listening to the show last week. One guy wrote he found us Tuesday when Sammy Hagar was in here drinking tequila with us, and now he's hooked. Some people have been with us since day one. Others hated us at first, but we're growing on them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Others used to like us early on, but now they hate us. And it's a whole mess going on.
So hard to keep track of.
So we're doing a little survey for our radio show, okay? And we're looking for all the faithful listeners to send an email in the next couple of days. To our email address, not the instant feedback.
Yeah.
Because this stuff we read and then it's gone. We want to print this up and stuff and read all of them and, you know, kind of take a look at our show, where it's been and where it's going and stuff.
Yes.
So if you're a faithful listener to the show, we need to know just a few things. Your name, all right? How old you are is very important. Where you live, all right? And how long you've been listening to us. That's it.
Very good.
If you've been listening since August, cool. If you've been listening since last week, cool too, I guess.
Where have you been?
Where have you been? And if, you know, you want to put down a few bits that you've liked in the last 9 months, that would help as well. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're just trying to get an overall feel of who's listening to the show these days. It'll really, really help us out, and we really need you guys to do this. But don't do it through the instant feedback, which everyone seems to be doing, because we can't print that up and read it and do some research on that. So the email address is opac, O-P-A-C-K, at WNEW.com. All right?
Very good.
And if you forgot that email address or didn't write it down, you could go to the NEW website, and you could email us from there.
Mm-hmm.
The regular email, not the instant feedback. All right?
All right.
And we'd appreciate that. Speaking of our faithful listeners, Anthony, you know Paul, the lawyer from Jersey. We love Paul. He's like a regular on our show. We haven't had his voice on, but he likes to email us all the time and fax us. And he pays attention to everything we say on this show. And he writes he makes notes, and then he sends his observations to us, okay?
All right, what does he
got? So I got another fax from Paul, the attorney from Jersey. Paul writes, I've been a faithful listener since August 28th, 1998. Even Paul wasn't with us from the beginning? That's a surprise.
Well, pretty much the beginning.
We started June 15th or so? During that time, I have received the following unforgettable advice from Anthony as words to live by. Number one, Anthony has said this on the air. If you drive a piece of crap car, don't toot your horn.
Right.
That's great advice.
Okay.
For anyone. Number two, if women want to attract men, they should hold two juice cans up to their breasts and yell, how do you like these cans?
I may have said that in passing. Oh, I think taken out of context, it's a little worse.
Well, he's got a couple more. Paul, the attorney from Jersey. Number three, it's still okay to drink and drive in New York City and Nassau County as long as you drive a piece of S car that you don't mind losing.
You didn't say that, did you?
I don't know. If he says I said it, maybe it...
Well, it was Anthony's way around the drunk driving law that the mayor has enacted here in our fine city.
I could have said something like, it's horrible for anyone to believe you can, and then that sentence, but I don't know what the context is.
Okay. Number four. It's okay to ignore your wife and play Half-Life all night as long as you spring out of bed early the next morning without complaint and take the bitch shopping?
Oh, wow. I don't think I ever said that.
I like to see the tape on that one.
He's making stuff up now.
Well, you have commented about your Half-Life habit.
Yes.
And you have said as long as you pay attention to your wife the next day and do some chores and stuff, you're okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've cut my half-life playing down quite a bit.
There are many more, but these should suffice. Take care, Paul. Paul, if you're still listening, we want the rest of your list. Because you've only scratched the surface on what Anthony has said on this show.
Goodness.
And I've been a complete saint. I want everyone to know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How about coming up for a words for from Opie? What? Words to live by. Sure, that would be a little more shocking.
You can't even think of one.
Yeah, I bet.
You guys are ready for Morning Drive. You'll kick his ass.
Oh, thanks.
We just turned to K-Rock. Blow me, Tom. Well, see you later, Tom. Boy, that Will Penn Darvis dude is really good.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. Ho-ho! Hey-hey! Yo-ho! Please.
Boy, Tom, you scare us.
Go there.
Go there. We don't care.
Hope you're wearing earplugs.
All right.
Fall asleep at the wheel.
All right. Well, we got to talk about prostate cancer again, Anthony.
Well, big in the news, Opie. Yankees. What?
You want to take a break? You want to do it now?
Well, we can take a break and then get into it.
You sure?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
Why?
We'll take a break and we'll talk about it next.
Sure.
Well, I mean, they have a whole list of celebrities that have had prostate cancer. And
I see that.
And one celebrity jumps right off the page. So I figured we'd mention it on our show today.
Harry Belafonte?
Well, I was thinking more Charlton Heston there.
Chuck Heston, yes.
Chuck Heston. So maybe, you never know, maybe Heston will stop by to talk about his prostate cancer like he did on Larry King about a month ago.
Happy survivor.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah.
Stick around for that and more stupidity. Jeremy.
Hey.
What do you got, man?
This is Jeremy.
Yeah.
And is this Opie and Anthony?
Yes, you're live on the air. What do you got?
Well, I heard you guys talking earlier about the guy who writes down the stuff that Anthony says,
yeah.
Things to live by.
Yeah.
And I wanted to add something to live by from Opie.
Oh, good.
And that's never put your kid on the phone to talk to Opie around Christmas time, because he's going to tell him there's no Santa Claus.
I don't remember that.
And I really thought it was funny, though. I mean, the kid freaked out, and it was great. But I'm never going to let my kid talk to you.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm sure you don't,
I don't
right?
think there's a tape that exists that actually has me doing that.
Oh, well, yeah, well, yes, we've got it. Go download it, everybody. It's a riot. and you were talking earlier about, you know, people sending in their emails and stuff saying how long they've listened and all that. I've been a loyal fan since the AAF days, guys.
Oh, I
and
appreciate that.
And I'm going
that.
To school here in New York, and yeah. I don't know if New York appreciates the legends that they have down here.
Who?
They're you guys.
Oh.
They're really lucky. You guys are a riot, and I wanted to wish you a belated Wow Day, by the way.
It's on the way.
Yes.
Wow is coming.
Wow is great.
Wow
Wait
is coming.
New York gets Wow.
All right, buddy.
Howard who?
We're legends in our own minds.
That's
trust
right,
me.
Man.
Yeah, really.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Take it easy, guys.
All right,
bye.
Jeremy. That was pretty cool. All right. This is for you guys if you were at the show last night. Johnny Lang. The Rock of New York, 1027 WNEW, the
Ouch.
Infamous pipe song, especially for Joe Torre. Now, that's not our, it's you guys, the listeners, you wanted us to play that for Torre. So.
Well, yeah, when you're getting that prostate examined, they got to probe you in all sorts of regions.
Yeah.
Oh, God, getting old. That's just sucks.
Well, everyone is talking about prostate cancer these days.
Who's had it? Who's beat it? My goodness.
It's not fun, obviously, but it affects a lot of men. And the paper, what is this, the Post?
Yeah.
Has a bunch of celebrities that have, helped the disease by talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sidney Poitier. God, I can't say his name.
Sidney Poitier.
Thank you. Jerry Lewis had it. Arnold Palmer had it. Bob Dole had it. Marv Levy, the coach of the Bills, had it. Stan Musial had it. Michael Milken had it. Norman Schwarzkopf had it.
Merv.
Merv Griffin. Harry Belafonte. Louis Farrakhan. Jesse Helms. The disease definitely doesn't discriminate, huh, Ant? Louis Farrakhan and Jesse Helms.
I know. How about that?
Mayor Marion Barry.
Marion Barry.
And our favorite, Chuck Heston.
Chuck Heston. He had prostate cancer, huh?
Yes. He was on Larry King discussing it a couple months back.
Really?
And I guess he has beaten it thus far.
Yeah. And Frank Zappa?
Died of it, right?
Oh, wait, yes. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I forgot that.
He did, see? He didn't catch it early. He even said in interviews, he's like, yeah, I had symptoms and everything. I just didn't, he had a fear of doctors and just didn't go until it got out of hand, and that was it.
I didn't know it was prostate cancer.
Mm.
Wow.
Why does it hurt when I pee? What the hell is that?
What is that?
The fire alarm's going off in the building.
Is it? Do we have to evacuate?
Do we have to leave?
I don't think so.
No, we don't have to leave. We're in a fireproof room, right?
Oh.
They just go, nah, let them burn. Who cares?
Oh, great. We'll concentrate on this break as they're evacuating the building.
Was it a test or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, go scope that out.
Yeah, go find out.
See if there's an actual fire. We'll hang out the window and scream and stuff until the fire department comes.
Kind of important. Maybe they could get one of those big, huge ladders and rescue us.
That'd be fun. That'd be zany.
That'd be pretty cool. But, yeah, Chuck Heston had prostate cancer, and thus far he's okay.
Damn, thank God. Thank the powers of God that I realized I heeded the warnings and went to my doctor. But be it not a merciful God that would put a disease on a man that would make it so he needed a metal probe put in his schween. My God! Lord, why? Damn you! Damn you! Why? Why? I have been so faithful. Did you give me a disease which you had to put a metal probe in my schween? There. My prostate looked like the stone tablets that the Ten Commandments were chiseled upon. Felt like that. Ow! Damn. But I beat it. I beat that awful disease.
Yes.
Now I just gotta beat this thing on my head. What is it?
It's your hair.
Oh, God damn! Look at it! Looks like a big rat. That's what my prostate looked like. Looked like my toupee.
Yeah.
Look at it. Look at it, damn you. It looks like a monkey ass on my head.
Now, Mr. Heston, you had the procedure done for your prostate cancer, right?
Yes, I did. First, they had to do the examination.
Yeah.
When I first felt the symptoms, it was very hard for Charlton to pee.
Yeah.
Very hard. And it hurt. I'd urinate. I'd stand there and go, come on. Come on. Coaxing it along. And then finally, when it started coming out, I would go, damn you! The pain! Damn you to hell! Why can I not urinate? Yes. So I went to the doctor for a prostate exam. You know what that entails. He snaps on the rubber glove and examines you. It wasn't as pleasurable as when Zira did it. She just flipped the old loincloth up and put her fuzzy little paw in my ass. But when a doctor's doing it, that isn't too fun.
No, not at all.
Especially when I felt him probing Charton's deepest innards. And he had both hands on my shoulders. Damn him! Damn him to hell! Where's my music? There, thank you.
Okay, yes.
How can I get worked up without my music? So I took the bad news.
Yeah.
That I indeed had prostate cancer. And, well, I had the procedure, and now I'm fine.
Well, they say some men, after they have the procedure, Mr. Heston.
Yes.
Their unit doesn't work as well as it did before the procedure.
Let it be known. Let it be known. Charlton Heston Schween is like the staff I carried in the Ten Commandments. Yes, I cast my staff across the waters. My God, it still functions.
Yeah.
Are you trying to say Charlton is limp?
Yeah, that's...
No, that... damn you! Damn you to hell! Do not start that rumor.
All right.
Have you destroyed? No.
And how's your ass?
My ass?
Yeah.
After the examination, it was a little chafed and red.
Yeah.
Looked like a monkey ass. A big red monkey ass! So embarrassing.
I was walking around in the hospital with that gown. The gown with the opening in the back.
Yeah.
And everyone's going, look at Charlton's ass. My God, it looks like a monkey ass. So degrading. Degrading. I had sponge baths. It was worse than getting hosed down. Remember when I got hosed down? It's a madhouse! A madhouse! Damn you!
Sorry, I had to help you out with that.
Oh. And yes, it, of course, it didn't make noise when I farted. Just sounded like... But I'm all tightened up now.
Oh, that's good.
It's all good.
All right.
But the...
What?
Oh, I saw that monkey on my head. It was my toupee. Sometimes I still get startled. Damn you! Why can't I have nice hair? What happened to my hair?
Now, a lot of people want to know if you're still partaking in the, let's say, monkey meat.
You had to get into this, didn't you? All right, I admit, when I had my prostate surgery, it was kind of hard for me to get aroused at first.
Yeah.
Little hard. Till I gazed upon monkey ass. Yes, where's my view?
Sorry.
Can't, by the love of God, can't you get a longer cart? My God.
All right, there you go.
I do partake in the monkey meat. The pleasures of the meat of the monkey. Big red monkey ass.
Okay.
I love monkey ass.
Yeah.
Right, you got it out of me. Can I go now?
Yeah, get the hell out of here. Get on
damn
your,
you!
Get on your chariot and get the hell out of here. There he goes, everyone. Chuck Heston.
Wow.
He's worked up, Opie.
Yeah,
he doesn't like the fact that his music doesn't last as long as the bit. The Rock of New York, 1027 WNEW, U2's Sweetest Thing. It's Opie and Anthony.
Hey.
U2 was one of those bands that I was proud to admit was one of my favorite bands of all time.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm almost embarrassed to say that they're one of my favorite bands.
We've had a few of those.
Has that ever happened to you?
Of course.
Or other people in Radioland? You know, you're really into a band and you want to tell the whole world you're into them. And the next thing you know, they start kind of doing things that you're really not into anymore. And you're like, oh, man, they're really effing this up.
That reminds me of my ABBA years.
I mean, come on. You two with Joshua Tree and Octung Baby and Unforgettable Fire. Damn.
Well, time then, goes on, Opie.
And then they put out Pop, and you're like, well, yeah, I like you too, but, you know?
Yeah.
What happened?
I understand. Well, sometimes that just happens. Time passes, and some bands just either don't keep up with the times or try too hard to change, and I think they tried a little too hard to change.
And I love the people that are with their favorite band to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to the end. Good example, Journey.
Ooh.
They went through all the changes and stuff, but no, man, Journey's my favorite band. And then they don't even have what's-his-name doing the vocals anymore.
Steve Perry.
Steve Perry, but no, man, I'm still with them.
Yeah.
It's not Journey anymore. Give it up at that point.
Should give it up anyway. Even if he was still.
Yeah, if you're in.
I mean, come on.
If you're into Journey, that's your own business. But
fag with a capital F.
But that's just a good example of a band that, you know,
yeah,
just went south and people were hanging on going, no, man. Same thing with Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar, people were still hanging in there. And in a lot of cases, more people came aboard because of Sammy Hagar.
Like two different bands.
Yeah. And then Gary, you know, Sharon.
Yeah, and then just...
You can't honestly say that last Van Halen album was good.
Yeah.
But the hardcore Van Halen fans hanging on going, no, man, it's not bad.
VH, oh, yeah, kick it.
Like, no, they're...
You do five hits of acid, man. There's some stuff on this album that kicks ass. You know what I mean, though?
I hear you.
That's what's kind of happening with me and you, too. It's like, when do I officially give up? What is it going to take?
Mm.
I mean, they went disco, basically, with Pop.
Yeah.
And people will argue that point with me, but no, it was a dance record.
I like the other end of the spectrum, too. The people that are really into bands before they really break. And then get totally PO'd when the band breaks.
Newbies coming on board. They went commercial. Sold out, man. I have like a cassette tape of Metallica, you know, from like 78.
Mm.
And like then they just went to crap.
Like, wow.
The fact is, every single band out there wants to make it.
Of course. You're not just playing to play. You always have this dream of making it and getting a deal.
They're all trying to be, quote, sellouts in a way.
Yeah, so when they finally do break and make it.
The story with Metallica, they wanted to be on the radio forever, for years.
Mm-hmm.
They were sending their stuff to radio stations, you know, and then finally broke with the Black Album.
Yeah.
You know? It's stupid to think Metallica never wanted to be discovered and never wanted to be huge.
No, the early fans never wanted them to be discovered.
Well, Ralph jumped into
it. Come on, it's the goal of every band. Every band wants to get signed to a record label. Every band wants to be Hanson and sell 5 million. Well, they don't want to be Hanson.
No, they want to
sell 5 million copies of their record, that's for sure. And they want, you know, they want all that goes with it.
Yeah.
That's the goal of every band.
But it does suck when everyone else discovers your band, you know, like Anthony was saying earlier.
Yeah.
I was so into Nirvana when, I swear to you, I was at a station that, we were one of the first radio stations in America playing, in America, besides Seattle, that was playing Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so into this, Smells Like Teen Spirit, I mean, the whole album I love.
Yeah.
And then it just broke across America, and I'm like, oh, great. I was so bummed, but happy for the band, you know.
Yeah. Well, I can kind of relate back in, when I was in school. And me and my friends, you know, Joe Curry and our old crowd I used to hang out with, was into Charlie Daniels. You know? Who wasn't into Charlie Daniels? But then they put out that Devil Went Down to Georgia song.
Yeah.
And then, like, you see the preppy dude starting to wear the boots and the hat, you know, the cowboy hat thing. And meanwhile, you were just in jeans, drinking whiskey in the woods, and listening to some Charlie Daniels.
Right.
And then they put that out, and it was like, now everybody knows who they are.
Not only did they put that wacky song out, then radio had to make it even worse by doing what? Son of a gun?
Yeah, they had to do two different versions.
Ugh.
You can't say son of a bitch. Make a son of a gun version.
A son of a gun version. Oh, can you imagine being a band? You're going to have to re-record and say son of a gun instead of son of a bitch.
Well, I'm kind of embarrassed that I was into that, but, you know, you got to share here.
There you have it.
That's what it's all about. It's our little therapy session.
Oh, everybody on Long Island was.
That's true.
Charlie Daniels said that...
I was never into Charlie Daniels, God damn it.
Well, don't make it sound like you're all that big and hot. I mean, who were you into back then?
Deep Purple.
Oh, so was I. But there was a band that makes you cringe now that you were into.
Deep Purple? Not as bad as...
No, I mean, there had to be another band. I was into Deep Purple, too.
Well, while he's thinking, the point I was trying to make is that Charlie Daniels said that Southern Rock was so big on Long Island during that era that it was almost a suburb of Atlanta. That's the way he looked at Long Island.
Really?
Yeah, Southern Rock was huge on the island. So to not be Charlie Daniels and Marshall Tucker, the Allman Brothers, and everybody that went along, Blackfoot.
I mean, that's true.
Even all the tiny ones, you know, everybody was into Southern Rock big time.
Right on.
Now, you don't have a band that you're just embarrassed to have...
I mean, Charlie Daniels isn't even a bad example, really.
No, but I mean, there's...
I can't really... Because I was, like, into Zeppelin and Sabbath.
Oh, you were just the coolest guy. No. What a dick, man.
Well, come on, you didn't like the Monkees?
No.
I know the Monkees.
You were just the coolest guy.
But then again, Zeppelin putting out Coda was kind of an embarrassment.
Oh, come on. That isn't even...
That doesn't count.
You know, to be so cool, that's embarrassing
all
to
right,
me.
All right, I do have one.
Come on, you got one.
All right, I finally figured it out.
Who?
God, I don't even want to admit this, though.
Who?
Come on, Brady boy.
Who?
Ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Genesis.
Well, back then, that's cool. Okay, back then it was
that's
cool.
That's what I mean, though. Well, Charlie Daniels was cool.
Yeah, but now you think back and it's like, yee.
That's what I think when I think Genesis. I'm like,
no, but Genesis was still cool from that era. Peter Gabriel, that whole thing.
Genesis put out a bunch of crap albums.
The older stuff, too?
No. I mean, after Abacab was borderline okay. Borderline. I mean, I don't even want to brag that I was into that album.
I'm with you.
But after that, it was all crap.
Yeah, that's how I felt about a Starland Vocal Band. Afternoon Delight, it just went downhill.
I don't have the most recent Charlie Daniels Band album either. I mean, you know, there comes a point where it's like saturation.
Yeah.
You know what? Blue Oyster Cult. I had to give up on Blue Oyster Cult after a while. They were like my favorite band ever. And then after a while, it just got like, well, boy, this just sucks. It's really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that happens with a lot of bands. They peak. They put out that great album. and they're never going to achieve that level again.
Well, yeah. Ralph, the point we're making, because you came in late, though, was... No, and it's okay.
Was where can we get a sex break out of this?
Yeah,
where can we...
Yeah, where can we tie this into sex? No, but people, you know, they have their favorite band, and when is enough enough where you finally have to go, wow, man, they're just not cool anymore? And we brought up the example of Journey. All the hardcore fans still hanging on after Steve Perry left the band.
It's over.
It's ridiculous at that point.
Yeah.
It's over, Johnny.
I want to state...
Well, you loved U2. You were a big U2 fan.
That's where the conversation came up. He's ready to give up on U2 now.
I'm like, when do I give up? You know,
one more album. They've got one more album on my, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but if they don't go back to a serious, rock... sounding album. Just
but can they? Did you see Bono when he was on
the
show recently?
I know.
What were those glasses all about? A bright yellow tint.
Game over, man. We're screwed.
You know, if U2 is listening, they got to completely just strip it down and go back to their roots and just
leather.
Put out.
Leather. Huh? Leather. They got to do like the whole leather thing that Presley did.
Oh, what are you saying?
No, Elvis Presley regained his when he did that. That special, he was all dressed in leather. The comeback special, right.
Oh, yeah.
He was all in leather. He got back to his roots. You know?
Well, that's the only hope they got.
They
got
to get back to their roots.
Right. All right. We had other things we wanted to talk about here. But
that's okay.
That was a pretty good break.
We'll allow our little discussions every so often.
I hope I didn't screw you guys up. I'm sorry.
No, not at all.
What, are you kidding? It's redundant.
No, if we're
screwing us up?
Yeah.
Impossible.
If we do a music break, we need Ralph Dettori in here. The king of... rock knowledge. All right, I'm going to give us a B-plus on that break.
He's great. What are you grading?
Wait, you're going to
go to B-plus there.
What?
Did I make the dean's list? I get a report card every quarter. What's going on here?
I didn't know we were pulling together our desks into a lab table.
Yeah. Really? Ralph's contribution. I'll give you like a B-minus. That was cool. You know? Right. But you're a little wasted and tired from Johnny Lang. So.
All right, what am I getting?
And you were solid there.
Oh, thank you, Opie. Thank you.
He's got to be nice to you.
Why are you the teacher? Why are you the one grading?
Hey, let's grade Opie now, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Opie. F.
You didn't say a damn thing.
I'm kidding.
I had to drag you into the conversation.
1027 WNEW, the Rock of New York, REM from up. That's Lotus. Hendrix before that. It's Opie and Anthony.
Oi.
We got a guy in the line that wants to abuse me now. You were taking some heat earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We got this guy, Paul. He's a lawyer in Jersey. He listens to the show so closely that he jots things down, and then he makes observations from time to time. And he was given the words of Anthony earlier. Do I have the list anymore?
I don't know.
Here it is. Just some of the outrageous things you've said.
He called them Anthony's words to live by?
Yeah, here it is. Words to live by, Anthony. Number one, if you drive a piece of crap car, don't toot your horn.
I've said that. I remember saying that.
That's a good one, right?
Sure.
Two, if women want to attract men, they should hold two juice cans up to their breasts and yell, "How do you like these cans?"
Now, maybe in some conversation I used that. I don't remember ever saying that.
All right. Number three, it's still okay to drink and drive in New York City and Nassau County as long as you drive a piece of S car that you don't mind losing.
I probably said that. Okay, I'll fess up to that.
And number four, I don't know, I think he took some liberty with this one, but number four, it's okay to ignore your wife and play Half-Life all night long. All night, as long as you sprint out of bed early next morning without complaint and take the bitch shopping.
The bitch?
No.
Jen's going to kick your ass.
That doesn't sound right.
This is Paul the lawyer, Jen, because I know she listens to us. I think you kind of were talking about that, but I don't think you put it in those words.
I didn't put it in those words. No, no. I said I have to spend as much quality time with my wife as I do playing Half-Life.
And if you're, playing till 3 in the morning, you'll make sure you're up by 8 to go shopping and do the stuff that needs to be done with Jen. And stuff.
No, just the next day. It has to be, sit on the couch day.
And then Paul writes, there are many more, but these should suffice for now. Well, Paul, send in the rest of them. But now there's a guy.
Yeah, can't wait to hear him. Yeah.
Well, there's a guy on the line that wants to get me now.
Okay.
I guess I've had some words to live by in the past as well. I can't think of any offhand, but. Hi, NEW.
Yeah, hi. Is this Opie?
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
I remember two occasions where you have given out advice to the world that are words to live by.
All right.
The first is your long stand on political correctness, which I believe your direct quote was, everybody needs to lighten the F up.
Okay.
Which I embrace in my everyday life.
Well, I'm proud of that one.
And the other is, you had said at one point that JonBenet Ramsey is really not that hot if you take away the makeup and the sweat clothes.
Wasn't that Anthony?
No, that was you.
No, that wasn't me.
I remember that was Opie said that. Because Anthony had a field day with it.
All right, man. Thank you.
Right.
Jesus. Anthony, fess up.
What?
Fess up. I'll find the tape if it takes me a year. See, when we first started here, a lot of people were confused who was who.
Yeah.
So you said it, and that guy thought I said it.
Now, in passing, I may have said JonBenet Ramsey without the makeup and cool clothes isn't that hot. I think I was probably trying to make a point. I don't know what point
Lord
that is now.
What it was. That is sick.
Yeah.
That is sick.
All right. Didn't you say we're only a couple of years away from a legal threesome with the Olsen twins?
No, that was you, too.
Oh, damn, that was me.
That was you.
Okay. Maybe I was doing examples of things that should never, ever be said. Wasn't that the show title that day? Things that should never, ever be said.
No, they all came from you, Anthony.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I know one. Hold it. Who's the one on this very show when there was a picture in the paper of OJ's daughter, mm-hmm. how she looks now,
yeah.
all fat,
yeah.
and you said, wow, she's not hot like she used to be.
Well, yeah, I may have said
Didn't
that.
You say that or something like that?
All right, I'll take credit for that one.
Yeah, I'm remembering that one.
That's not as bad.
Oh, what happened to her? She used to be hot. Hot? That was it. You looked at her picture and said, ooh, what happened to OJ's daughter? She used to be hot.
Yeah, but
hot, you used.
Yeah, all right, I said that, but then you had to outdo me, and you came up with the JonBenet Ramsey comment.
You know, I don't recall making that statement like that.
Hi, NEW.
Hey, it's Rich from Baldwin.
Hey, what do you
What's
got,
up,
Rich?
Man?
We're talking about this, you know, this Tory cancer thing. You know, he's got it in the prostate. Strawberry's got it in the colon. I want to know what's going on in the locker room, man.
Oh my God!
Are you a Met fan?
Check please. Check please. Oh my God! What are you implying?
I'm not implying anything, but it creates a hell of a visual there.
You think Daryl Strawberry wanted playing time that bad?
Oh,
come on.
That's
just nuts.
Oh, obviously, that's not sexually transmitted, you nut.
I'm just kind of bummed that I didn't think of that one.
I don't know. Sick. These doctors don't know what they're doing.
All right, buddy.
All right, you guys rock, man.
Thanks.
If you're on...
That's horrible. This is just taking a turn for the worse now, isn't it?
AnthonyPriceline.com.
Yes.
They have freshened up the copy for us. Thank you. We love these guys. We want to make sure our live reads for them are sounding fresh all the time. And I'm looking at some new points here.
Okay, Opie.
So let me read through this the first time, and you can comment as we go along. I think it's the best way to handle this new copy, Anthony.
Well, thank you.
Just breaking down the third wall for everyone.
Let's just hone that spontaneity.
All right. Have you named your own price at Priceline.com yet? Well, thousands of people use it every single day. That's because Priceline's the best way on or off the Internet to save on airline tickets, hotel rooms, and home mortgages, Anthony.
Ooh, look at that.
They're in the home mortgages business now. You've probably heard William Shatner talking about Priceline.com.
Yes. I love Priceline. Hey. Let's read a couple of letters from Priceline customers. Look at this one. Dear Priceline, thanks to you, I saved about $1,000 in airfare. Or this customer, I saved over $300 on my tickets. Or this one. The best thing about Priceline is that it's free. Free, unlike the thralls. They were not free. I had to go to their planet and free them. But Priceline is free. And it's so easy, anyone can do it.
All right, yeah, Priceline.com is very easy. Just tell Priceline where and when you want to go and how much you want
to
pay.
I want to go to Rigel 7 for 800 quatloops.
There you go. And then in just 1 hour, you'll find out if your offer was accepted, Anthony.
One of your...
Or William, or whoever the F you are.
No, Please stay. That's one of your Earth hours.
Okay. Here's the bottom line. Priceline really is great. A great way to save money on your next trip. Whether it's airline tickets or hotel rooms, you owe it to yourself to find out what all the excitement is about. For details, visit Priceline on the internet at www.priceline.com or give them a call, 1-800-PRICELINE today.
On your telephones.
The Rock of New York, 1027 WNEW, Creed. From My Own Prison, that's one. Sophie and Anthony.
Hey, man.
And the crew leaving for the Allman Brothers, Ralph Tatora, Ben the Fag, and Black Earl, everyone.
On our way.
Even his jacket is black.
His scarf is black.
Yeah.
Dude, his underwear is black.
Get out. How would you know?
He showed everyone at Caroline's about
I don't want to see Earl. No, just
watch. Thank
excuse you, me while I whip this out.
Come on, little. Get out of here, man. I love that line.
Now, for that, we were at Caroline's. And everybody was wondering if everything Earl wore was black. That's why we call him Black Earl, because he wears all black.
And Earl, you volunteered?
Yeah, he kind of, you know, went reaching in his pants. It kind of got frightening for a second there. I saw some people in fear, walking away, creepy. Running away. And then...
Hey, where are the white women at?
Hey, Cleavon. But he did indeed pull out his black underwear. All black.
I'm shocked, Earl.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely shocked.
I have the 9.5 weeks closet.
Now, Earl, when
I heard 9.5.
9.5. I was like, whoa.
I heard I have 9.5. It's like, oh, wait.
We need to know the stats, man.
And now, Earl, when you're playing basketball... do you wear, like, black socks?
Yeah.
And black sneaks?
Mm-hmm.
Can you play basketball?
No. Wow. Isn't that amazing? It's all black.
Well, Ben was at... You were at his pad, his groovy bachelor pad, right?
I have been at, as Earl calls it, the palace.
Now, you saw his closet.
Entirely black.
Wow.
Everything. Except for the Yankees jerseys.